Thank you, Scott.
Verses 8 and 9 of that great chapter. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. I'm so thankful for that, aren't you? I'm so thankful that I do not have to rely on my words. In our Bible class this morning, we're talking about the kings of the Old Testament. And so we studied King Jehoshaphat of Judah this morning, and we're going to continue studying that next week. But one thing that was so interesting about King Jehoshaphat, who is a good king, he made sure that the law was read. He made sure that they understood all those people he surrounded, all the leaders that he had, they sent out, and he made sure the Levites sent and they read from the law. Why? Because my thoughts are not his thoughts. His ways are higher than my ways. And so because of that, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, as Jesus said, we must live by. Some of those words are questions. And so last week we started a series of lessons on questions Jesus asked. And Jesus asked a lot of questions. And by the way, I want to suggest to you, Jesus knew the answer to those questions. Because God knows everything. He knows our thoughts. He knows our hairs on our head. He knows everything about us. He started it out with a question to Adam and Eve. Remember, God did. He said, where are you? We talked about that Wednesday night. He knew where they were, but he wanted to know if they knew where they were, what they had done, that how they had fallen spiritually. And so when Jesus, who is God on earth, asked a question, he knew the answer to the question. He wanted to know, did you really know the answer to the question? And so today, as we look at yet another question that Jesus asks, I think this question needs to be asked to us as well. In John chapter 5, verse 6, Jesus asked the question to a man who sat by a pool longing to get well, do you want to get well? And at first, you might think, and we'll talk more about this in a moment, you might think certainly that man wanted to get well. But if we turn the question on us today and said, do you want to be saved? Do you want to get well, right? Because we are sick from the disease of sin. Do we want to get well? Well, obviously, we should say yes, right? But there's a lot more to that question than just saying yes. There was a lot more to the question that Jesus asked this man than just a yes response. And so we will look at that in a moment. That question was not just for the man. That question, I believe, is for us today as well. But in order to understand, there are three things in this question in John chapter 5. That will be our opening today and where we will be in our text. In this text, John chapter 5, especially verse 6, there are some things I want you to know about this question, about this story. There are three things that we'll look at today. The first one right off the bat is this. We need to talk about the condition of the man. If you turn with me to John 5, let's read together verses 1 through 5. John 5, verses 1 through 5. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew, most versions would say like Bethesda, but it's Bethesda, which has five porticos. Those are covered porches or covered structures. In these, within these five porticos, in these five porches, lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. Now that's the end of verse 3. Some of your versions, you're going to see something a little bit strange today if you haven't paid attention to it. You're going to see, not in the King James versions of the Bible, but in other versions of the Bible, and I don't want you to be alarmed by this, but you're going to see 1, 2, 3, 5. And they're going to be like, why did they leave out verse 4? Well, I'll explain it to you. Verse 4 in the King James versions of the Bible will say, waiting for the stirring of the water, for an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. So whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well from whatever disease that person had. By the way, that goes along great with our angels class. That's a pretty neat deal, right? However, the reason it's in some and not in others, don't be alarmed. People didn't leave out important. Again, that's not a verse that's going to matter, right, salvation-wise. But just to let you know, just to educate you so you won't be confused, in 1611, the King James Version of the Bible was translated. 1611, that's over 400 years ago, right? They wrote, that was in the manuscripts they had. In those 400 years, we found older manuscripts where some of them did not, it was not included in those older that went back even further, like the Dead Sea Scrolls and such. So, all that to say, whether you have it or not, it's okay. Verse 5, it doesn't matter to our lesson today. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. So the first thing we need to see in verses 1 through 5 is not that there's not a verse 4. We need to see that there's a condition of this man. This man that Jesus is going to ask the question to, do you want to get well? What is his condition? Well, he's physically not well. From all indications, he's paralyzed. At least he's crippled or lame, not able to walk, it appears. He can't move on his own. So for 38 years, now, think about that, almost four decades, he had been waiting by this pool, hoping that this angel would come and stir these waters, and then he would jump in after that, and all of a sudden, because that angel touched those waters, he's going to come out well. It did not happen any of those days for 38 years. The condition of this man is prolonged pain. He's been suffering for a long, long time. He's been in misery for a long, long time. Not only physically, but can't you imagine the weight of his illness had robbed him of all hope? The weight of that illness had robbed him of all freedom? Can you think about the weight of that illness affecting his mental health? How he couldn't get up and go, how he couldn't move, how he couldn't do, how he couldn't make a living? Can't you imagine the discouragement that he faced day after day after day after day for 38 years? That blows my mind. For 38 years, this man was discouraged as he watched others receive healing or be able to get up and go or to be able to go make a living. And here he still lies after 38 years by this pool in Bethsaida, unable to get up and walk. It might not have been 38 years for you. But some of you in this room, I would imagine it's been quite some time you've been in a storm. We talked this morning, special contribution, about those who have literally been in a physical storm, which has caused a lot of emotional storm. There are over 200 people that have been found dead. Can you imagine what those families are going through today? Just in a matter of days, in a matter of weeks, how it has turned their lives literally upside down? Now, you might not have been through that type of physical storm, but chances are in a room with this number of people, and it's a good crowd today, thank you for being here, a number of people this big, certainly we have some who are going through emotional storms. You're going through spiritual storms. You may even be going through physical storms. And that rain has been coming down. That lightning has been striking. It might not have been 38 years, but it might feel like it, right? You've been going through this for some time today. And I want you to hear the words of Jesus, not my words. Jesus is standing by today asking you, do you want to be made well? Do you want your emotional storm to go away? Do you want your physical storm to go away? Do you want your spiritual storm to go away? Now listen, I can't promise you today that if you, at the time of our invitation, you walk this aisle and you surrender your lives through baptism to Jesus Christ, I cannot promise you He's going to cure your physical ailments. But I can guarantee you, you will have invested in a body that will never have physical ailments again. I can't promise you that He's going to take away all your troubles. In fact, in John 16:33, Jesus said, in this world we will have troubles, but He's overcome the world. So we can be happy. We can be in good cheer. I can't promise you if you submit your life to Christ today that your emotional struggles, your financial struggles, your marital struggles will all magically go away. But I can promise you that spiritually, mentally, and everything else that goes with it, Jesus Christ can make you well. You don't have to feel stuck like this man of 38 years. You don't have to carry guilt anymore. You do not have to live in fear anymore. You do not have to live in the past and in failure anymore. But just as this man for 38 straight years felt hopeless, felt helpless, chances are that many of us today feel paralyzed by circumstances, habits, or struggles. So when I see this man's condition, I see that there are physical struggles. But I also see, secondly, under this man's condition, as I read this story, that he had a limited perspective. This man had a very narrow view of how he could be healed. In fact, he believes that the only way he is going to be made well was through the waters of this pool. So when Jesus asked him, do you want to get well, what would you think he'd say? Absolutely. Yes. That's not what he said. Here's what he said in verse 7. Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool. Now that's a sad scene in itself, right? 38 years, nobody offered to put that man in the pool. He said, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me. In other words, they push me aside. But here's the point that I'm trying to make. Jesus Christ is standing there. Now, whether he truly knew Jesus, whether he had heard of what Jesus could do, all that I do not know the answer to, but here's what I do know. Jesus Christ, the healer of healers, the King of kings, the great physician, is standing right there, and he says, do you want to get well? He didn't say, absolutely, Jesus, heal me. He says, I can't get anybody to put me in the pool. See, that's a limited perspective. His vision was very narrow. He didn't see the big picture. But how often do we? How often do we put God in a box? How often do we put limits on the great physician in our own lives? Because we get stuck on one perspective. We get stuck on one solution. We might think today, I want to be healed. I want to be cured. I want to get through this storm. But we think there's only one or two ways it could happen. And we set out to do it on our own. Or sometimes we set out to say, well, I'll rely on somebody else to help me. And we come to find out that time goes by and people pass by. Not that they mean ill, but sometimes we just get so distracted that maybe we don't see it. Or maybe it's so quiet that you've been so quiet about it that we really didn't realize it. Or we didn't have the community we need to have, and we didn't interact with one another the way we should, and we just don't know. And so now I'm trying to rely on others to put me in the pool. I'm trying to rely on others to help me, or I'm trying to figure it out on my own, and that's a very limited perspective. The one that could make that man well was the one who asked the question. So that's the condition of the man. He's in pain, and he's got a limited view, a limited perspective on things. But there's a second point I want you to see in this story, and that's the compassion of the master. Look at verses 6 through 8 again with me, please. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, right? 38 years. He said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool while the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." So Jesus said to him, I love it, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." You know what I see in that? I see the compassion of Jesus Christ. This man, his mindset, right? I mean, you can only imagine. You know, sometimes we talk about, why are you down in the dumps? I think we understand that saying, right? You might see somebody in your family, you might see somebody in your circle and be like, hey man, why are you down in the dumps? This man is down in the dumps. 38 years, whether that's his entire life or something happened, I don't know, but for almost 4 decades, this man has sat by this pool and no one has put him in when he thought the waters were stirred up, right? Not only that, but when he had the opportunity to go, people jumped in front of him. And you can see that, right? People, they cared about themselves. It was selfish desire. I'm going to be healed, not you. Get out of the way, crippled man. And they jumped in ahead of it. Nobody stopped. Nobody helped. But then came Jesus. Compassion. He saw this man, and he stopped and approached this man. He didn't wait for the man to cry out to him. Remember last week we talked about Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was crying out, "Jesus of Nazareth." He was crying out. This man's not crying out to Jesus. Jesus approached him. You see what compassion is? The word literally means a stirring of the bowels. Jesus felt it in his stomach. He knew, I have to stop. I have to help this man. You know what comforts me in all that? Is Jesus sees us today. He's still compassionate today. The simple act of Jesus seeing this man is significant to me. Jesus didn't just see a sick person, did he? He saw sick people every single day of his life. I mean, think about the people that came to Jesus. He saw them. Now, why is Jesus by the pool? Again, there's been a festival. He's going up to Jerusalem. Maybe he just wanted to go and sit by a pool. I don't know. Maybe he wanted to have some time to pray. Or maybe he went there specifically to see this man. But no matter what, his compassion for him saw more than a sick person. He saw this man's struggle. He saw this man's heartache. And he saw this man and his years of suffering. And just as Jesus saw this man, he sees you and me today. And I find great comfort in that. We sing the song time to time, years gone by. My Jesus knows just what I need. He still knows just what we need. He sees you today. If you think nobody sees me struggling today, Jesus Christ does. And He is the one that can take away your struggles. He sees the things that we've carried for years and no one else may fully understand. Let's face it. Sometimes we're private, right, in the struggles we have. We paint a picture, right? We come in our Sunday clothes and wear our Sunday smiles and we sing our Sunday songs and we read from our Sunday scriptures and, you know, I can look the part, but you don't know what I'm going through deep down inside. And folks, I'm guaranteeing there are people in here that we don't know what they're going through. I've never walked a day in your shoes just like you've never walked a day in mine. But Jesus knows. He knows your struggles. The beautiful thing about it is the compassion of Jesus is not passive. Like I said, what the word literally means, it's a movement in the stomach. It moved him to action. He didn't just see it. He was moved to action. Jesus doesn't ignore our pain. He doesn't want to leave us in our broken state. In fact, His offer today is healing, restoration, and transformation. But there comes a question. When it comes to walking to Jesus and letting Him heal you today, the question is, do you really desire it? Jesus' question, do you want to get well, seems simple on the surface. But in my opinion, it's deeply profound. Again, at first glance, it seems unnecessary. Of course this man wants to get well, Jesus. But Jesus is not just asking him, do you want to get well, buddy? And I'm going to make you well. He's probing deeper and deeper and deeper in this man. He's asking him, after 38 years, do you really want to change? Are you ready to leave behind this way of life and step into something brand new? Are you ready to leave this troubled life behind and walk in newness of life? The question required self-examination. Quite frankly, sometimes we may say, yes, I want to be well, but in reality, we've grown comfortable in our brokenness. People may say, and let's don't be that person that says this, it's the way I am, it's the way I'm always going to be. No, that is a bad way to live your life. I am so thankful. I became a minister here at 21 years old. I'm 47 today. I'm so thankful that I'm not the same minister I was at 21 years old. I'm also so thankful I'm not the same husband I was. I became a father at 30 years old. I'm 47 today. I'm so thankful I'm not the same father I was 30 years ago as well. Folks, we've got to be willing to change. We've got to be willing to adapt to the way that Jesus wants us to live. It's got to change us. But sometimes we grow so comfortable. This man, 38 years, do you really want to get up and walk? That's what the question meant. Do you really want to leave 38 years behind you? Or are you just comfortable in the state that you are? Are you just comfortable complaining? Are you just comfortable saying, hey, that church doesn't care about me. Those people don't care about me. I'm just, you know, the elders don't care about me. The preacher doesn't care about me. I'm just going to live and I'm just going to be miserable, miserable, miserable. And I'm going to tell everybody about it. Or do you really want to be made well? If you do, there's one more point. There's then the call to move forward. In John 5, 8 through 9, we have these words. Let me just read verse 8. Jesus said to him, stand up, take your mat, and walk. He asked the man, do you really want to be made well? On the surface, it looks like a silly question, honestly. Yeah, for 38 years that man's been there. Jesus, of course he wants to be well. But it was deeper than that. There's compassion to Jesus, but he really needs to know. Are you weighing the cost? Remember, he said, you can't be my disciple if you don't love less your mother, your father, your brothers, your sister, and your own life also. If you do not love it less, you cannot be my disciple. It can't be about you. It's got to be about him. And so he said, do you really want to be made well? Do you want to get out of this condition? Do you want to get up? He said, if you do, then get up, take up your mat, and walk. The man did. And immediately, he was made well. In order to change our lives, in order to be made well, it takes an active faith. The healing did not come. Now listen, Jesus could have healed this man by thanking it. He could have healed this man by putting a fingertip on him. He could have healed this man by moving his nose, twinkling his eyes. He could have healed him any way he wanted to, but this is the way he healed him. Get up, take up your mat, and walk. Then he was healed. He wanted to see, is this man really going to be active in his belief? Jesus didn't lift him up. He didn't carry him into the pool. He called the man to respond in faith. Healing was available. And it was going to be free of charge. But he had to get up, take up his mat, and walk. Faith demands action. Jesus is calling us to step out in faith. You remember when he calls Peter and the others to be disciples? We talked a lot about it in 2020. But you remember he goes to their what they knew. He goes to their backyard, to the Sea of Galilee, right? And you remember Peter and them, they had fished all night and they hadn't caught anything. And that's what he did for a living. So can you imagine how tired he was? Can you imagine how ill he was? Can you imagine how they're washing their nets and they're getting ready to go? I mean, they're going home with no money. They're going home with crankiness and all this ill. And Jesus says, hey, you really want to catch fish, launch out into the deep. Peter probably heard that a little bit sideways. Hey, we know fishing. The fish aren't in the deep right now. They're in the shallow water. And by the way, they're not biting. They're not getting in our nets. But hey, okay, we'll do it. Basically, you want me to do it? We'll go out there to satisfy you. And you remember the story. The nets, they were breaking. They had to have help bringing them in. Of course, Peter then repents and he bows down and he's like, forgive me and all this. But the whole point I want you to see in the story, Jesus could have filled those nets while they were on the shore. He could have filled that boat with fish and sunk it without them doing one single thing. But he wanted to see, are you willing to launch into the deep? Do you want to get well? It's not just a simple yes. Are you willing to get up? Are you willing to leave the past behind? And are you willing to walk in newness of life? The beauty of this story is that the same Jesus who healed that man by that pool is the same Jesus who's offering us healing today. His power hasn't diminished. His love and compassion have not faded. Do we want to be well? Do we want to experience the fullness of life that Jesus offers? The answer is yes. It requires action. Today is the day to step out of that aisle, to leave the past behind, to be immersed in water, and to walk in newness of life. We do not need to stand by that pool any longer hoping somebody will put us in. Jesus, He's there. You remember when Peter walked on the water to Him? I've told this story before. Peter stepped out of the boat. The others didn't. He kept his eyes on Jesus. The biggest worry for Peter that day was water. What do you mean, Terry? Water. Well, the biggest fear Peter had was sinking in that water and drowning. Jesus Christ was standing on top of his biggest fear. Today, he's still standing on top of your fears. He's still standing by the pool. Do you want to be made well? Well, let's see the response right now as together we stand and sing.